You know, even in Judaism, even having the word of God being in the land back 2,000 years ago, the Jewish people still would go their own way and think differently. And the Messiah came, and he was one of the big reasons Yeshua came. One of the reasons Yeshua came was to set everybody straight. Here's what we need to think about with God. Here's how to approach Torah. Here's how you're supposed to view your Heavenly Father. And here's how you're supposed to view your fellow man. This is what the Sermon on the Mount, the Drash is all about, right? And, you know, today I want to ask a question to us. Do we have things in our lives, goals, desires, dreams, that somehow don't get fulfilled? Okay, when we think about our dreams, think about all the things you wanted to do in life that wasn't fulfilled. Have you ever wanted something really bad and it never worked out in your life? I think all of us can think of something where I wanted this, I needed this, I felt like it. I had to have this to go on, and it didn't work out. I didn't get it. I wasn't fulfilled. It was a longing that was unfulfilled, or a dream that was unfulfilled. We've all had those things in our lives that didn't turn out. It could be something small. It could be, you know, when I was a kid, I never got those cool toys, right? I was always getting all the secondhand toys from my older brother, or, you know, I didn't get the things I wanted as a kid. Or it could be really, really big things in our life, right? I wish I had known my mother. I wish I had known my father. I wish I'd had an opportunity to do this. I wish I had an opportunity to go into ministry or to do this particular work for somebody. Sometimes we have these things that are not fulfilled, and there are certainly wants or dreams or visions that we have that don't come up, and we get a little disillusioned. You know, why? Why are those things not being fulfilled in our lives? Sometimes we have these experiences, and then we read the Bible, right? And the Bible seems to say, it'll all work out. You know, God listens to your prayers. God answers your prayers. And we're like, wait a minute. The Bible's supposed to be the instruction book. The Bible's supposed to be the way to do everything. The Bible's supposed to instruct me, and it's supposed to be the truth. Why do I have the Bible saying one thing, and my dreams or the fulfillment of my goals or what I feel should be doing not happening? You know, I'm being faithful to pray about it. I'm being faithful to do it I think should be done to fulfill those things, and it's still not happening. And so it doesn't jive. Our will and our thoughts and our desires don't jive with what the Bible says, and so we get a little bit disillusioned about that. Let's talk about that today. Matthew chapter 7. Let's look at Matthew 7:7 and 7:8. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. Everybody knows that scripture, right? Everybody has memorized that scripture. Like I said last week, even unbelievers know that scripture. They can quote you that scripture. Can it be that simple? Can it be really just like a great formula? You know, I ask God, he gives me. I have a desire, boom, I go to the Lord in prayer, it's fulfilled. Easy, right? It's an easy formula. If I do 2 plus 2, it always equals 4. But that's not really what it means, and that's not really how we're supposed to take Scripture. God is not our personal slot machine. You know, when you go to Vegas, not that I've ever gone to Vegas, but if you go to Vegas, I've seen the movies, they have the slot machines, and you just say, you know, cha-ching, I want that, and of course all the money comes out every time. God, I have this desire, I want this, cha-ching. Here comes the money. Here comes my desire being fulfilled right now. God, I want this. Make it happen for me. You said, ask and I'll receive. So this obviously not what Scripture says. Today we're going to talk about what does really that mean? What does that passage mean if it doesn't mean God is my personal slot machine? What does it mean for my life? Now, many of you have heard of the term, and I'll throw it out there, and you'll laugh when I throw it out there. Name it and claim it. Who's heard of name it and claim it? Right? This is linked to what we call the prosperity gospel, meaning God loves me, God wants the best for me, and there's a nice Lamborghini over there. So it must mean that if I want that Lamborghini and God loves me and wants the best for me, I'm going to get that Lamborghini. You know what I'm saying? Name it and claim it. It's more prevalent than we think it is. And I'm not just talking about a Lamborghini. insert whatever you want. Maybe it's not as shiny and expensive as a Lamborghini. But think about those areas in our lives where we maybe act like that. We want that new shiny car. God wants to bless me. God loves me. He wants to give it to me. This is still a very popular thing. You know, there's a mega church pastor. There's many mega church pastors, but there was one in the news recently. And you know, I'm bivocational. I work for Gulfstream. And there was a mega church pastor in the news recently regarding Gulfstream. His name is Creflo Dollar. You heard of Creflo Dollar? Creflo Dollar wanted to get a Gulfstream jet for ministry, but he didn't want any Gulfstream jet. He wanted the Gulfstream jet. You know what the Gulfstream jet is? The Gulfstream jet is a 650, and it sells for literally $65 million. It's just a little bit of money. It's a little bit more than a Lamborghini, but Creflo Dollar had to have it for his ministry. And Creflo Dollar has somewhat of a name it and claim it ministry. He's in the greater Atlanta area, and he's been in the news quite a bit over the last few years for some of those types of purchases. And we have to be careful that we don't approach God saying, God, I really want that new Gulfstream 650. You know, I've got to have it. Maybe he needs, you know, instead of a Gulfstream 650, maybe he needs a little Piper twin jet. You know, those are a couple hundred thousand. That can get him where he needs to go. Maybe he can get by with a little Cessna plane or something. I don't know. But, you know, it's wanting the best. The Lamborghini's the best. The Gulfstream's the best. We know Gulfstream's the best in the industry. I'm not just saying that because I work there, but they are recognized as the best and not the cheapest in the industry. You know, we have to remember that it's not just a slot machine. It's not just the best. We have to remember that that's not how God works, and that's not how we need to approach the Holy One of Israel. What does it really say? Well, you know, if you really look at some translations, instead of ask, seek, and knock, it says in some translations, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Kind of an idea of, you know, if you have something that's on your heart, you don't just have to ask once and you pull the slot machine and you get it. But maybe you need to keep asking, and there's reasons why we need to keep asking. Maybe we don't really understand what we're praying for right away, and we need to have it clarified as the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, speaks to us as we pray it through, as we meditate on it, as we think about it. How many people have gone to the Lord with a request one time and then said, oh, God, this must be it. I mean, this has been on my heart. I got to just get it out, and you're going to just provide. And then over time, as you pray more and more, you realize, maybe that's not the right way to approach it. Maybe I need to ask this way. You know, when the Ruach HaKodesh speaks to you as you go along, it's a relationship thing. But the timing of God is also everything. Maybe God doesn't want you to have it right then. Maybe there's a reason why he's not answering your prayers right then. And you have to keep asking. You have to keep seeking. And you have to keep knocking. Maybe that's part of the whole thing. You're supposed to learn to be keep going and keep asking the Lord. Maybe that's what he wants. I don't know. It could be different in every situation. But it certainly is not a name it and claim it. It certainly is not, God, I want the best because you say you love me and I deserve the best and I get the best. That's not how God works. And I really want to differentiate this morning between what we consider a need and a want. Okay? A Gulfstream jet or a Lamborghini is certainly a want. I think we can all believe that today. But there's such a thing as a want versus a need. We have to differentiate it. Name it and claim it is certainly a want. You know, my children want a lot of things. When my kids come to me, they want to stay up late all the time. Do your kids want to stay up late all the time? My kids want to stay up late all the time. They just want ice cream all the time. They want to eat that for dinner, for dessert, for the snack before bed. They want to eat that for breakfast the next morning. They want ice cream, but I don't give them everything they want, do I? Because that would not be good for my children to have everything they want. I, as a loving father, know the boundaries. I know that if I feed them ice cream in the morning, it's going to be bad in the afternoon. I know that if I let them stay up late, it's going to be bad the next morning when they have to go to school. So I don't give them that want because I know it's not the best for them as their father, as a loving father. Well, God is our heavenly Father, as we know, and He knows we want ice cream all the time. God, I want that Lamborghini. God, I want that Gulfstream. God, I want ice cream. Why can't I have ice cream? It tastes good. I don't want to eat my broccoli. I want my ice cream. I don't want my Brussels. Who eats Brussels sprouts anymore? Really? You guys eat Brussels sprouts? Okay. Who? I want my Brussels sprouts. I don't eat Brussels sprouts a lot, but we eat a lot of broccoli in my house, you know. We don't eat a lot of ice cream. You know, it's not best to give your kids all the things that they want all the time. So we have to contrast the wants with the needs. Now, we need certain things, don't we? To live, we need water, we need food, we need clothing, we need shelter. To get by in this world, we have a lot of needs that need to be fulfilled. Some we ask for in prayer to the Lord. God, I need this. I have to have this. I mean, I have no money for rent this month. Those are needs. And some we don't even pray about that we have, right? We don't even pray sometimes about some situations, but there are certainly needs in our life. God knows what our needs are. That doesn't mean we shouldn't pray to Him, but He knows our needs. So let's look at Matthew 7 again. Matthew 7, verses 7 through 8. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. There's 3 points here. Obviously, ask, seek, and knock. And I want to go through those a little bit with you today. Ask signifies or means that we come to our Heavenly Father with an awareness of our needs. With an awareness of our needs. Maybe there's a sickness. You have a need in that way. Maybe there's a job need. We ask. We come to our Heavenly Father with an awareness of our needs. You know, we have a prayer team here at Karen Orr. That prayer team is set up for our needs, the needs of the congregation. If someone's sick, if someone has something major going on in their lives, there's an awareness of that need, and we lift people up on a prayer chain. We're asking God. That's ask. Number 2 is seek. To seek implies more than just asking, doesn't it? We are actively working towards that request. We are seeking that answer, seeking a resolution. It's more than asking. It's similar, but it's more than asking. It's going farther. It's connecting the prayer to action of pursuing the Lord's will in this thing. And lastly, knock. To knock symbolizes perseverance. You know that you have to sometimes knock more than once, right? You ever gone to the door of somebody's house and knock and they didn't answer? Maybe they couldn't hear you or they had the music up too loud or whatever. TV was up too much. You have to knock again. And maybe you have to knock a third time. Maybe knock a little louder. Knocking symbolizes perseverance. We have to knock sometimes more than once. The person at the door might not hear us. We have to keep going. You know, God always hears us, but maybe He wants us to keep knocking. Maybe there's a reason why we have to continue going farther with that. So it's ask, seeking, and then knocking. Actively wanting and desiring that prayer to be answered. Not just, oh, I'm going to ask you, God. Then maybe you go a little bit more and you're seeking. And then it's like, I am physically knocking on the door because I have a need and the Lord needs to hear me in this. I beseech the Lord. You know how sometimes the prophets in the Bible would just knock really loud and they would cry out to the Lord? Isaiah or Elijah, when he knocked to the Lord and said, Lord, they are killing all the prophets. I'm the only one left. They're trying to kill me. He was knocking. He wasn't just asking. He was knocking. He was desperate. He wanted that prayer answered. Matthew 7, 9 through 11. Or what man is there among you if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? So you know God loves us, right? We know God loves us. We know He cares about us. And what Yeshua is saying here is, listen, you know how you're an earthly father and you have kids and you want the best for your kids. You're not going to give kids a stone when they ask for a fish, meaning you're not going to just be like, here, kid, here's the crusty bread to eat for dinner. You're going to give them the broccoli. You're going to give them the Brussels sprouts, right? Maybe a little bit of ice cream afterwards. But you know what? You're going to be a good father because you love your children as an earthly father. Now, how much more with us as earthly fathers, with all of our problems, with all of our shortcomings, if we know how to give good things to our kids, how much more does our perfect heavenly Father know how to give good gifts to us? He knows how to give good gifts to us. He knows us. He wants us to come to Him. He wants to answer our prayers. He wants to see the longings of our hearts fulfilled. Our Heavenly Father is perfect, and He knows what we need even before we come to Him. But we still need to come. We still need to ask. We still need to seek. We still need to knock. That shows that we want to come to Him. You know, God didn't make us as robots. If He made us as robots, it would be just like, okay, I'm following you, just like all the other robots. He, in His love and compassion, gave us free will to choose Him. And when we choose Him, when we choose to come to Him in prayer, when we choose to knock repeatedly at the door of our Heavenly Father, He knows that we want a relationship with Him, that we are choosing Him. And I believe that just warms His heart. That makes Him, you know how as a father, those fathers in the room, how awesome you feel when your kid does something that's like, wow, that's awesome. You feel just so connected. You feel like all that hard work paid off. They get it. Think of our Heavenly Father. Wow, look at them coming to me and knocking. All that hard work. They get it. They want a relationship. They want to grow. They want to be part of my life, that my kingdom. That's what God is saying. So then, you ask, why does God not answer my prayers all the time? If He loves me, if I'm knocking, and He knows that I want this a lot, if I need, maybe even I need this, why? I'm praying for this need in my life, Rabbi, and He's silent still. What's going on? Well, to answer that question, I will give you another question, because that's very Jewish. In Judaism, we answer questions with questions, don't we? Maybe we are asking for things that are not aligned with the Word of God and with the will of God for our lives. Obviously, if you're praying repeatedly, God, you know, please give me a second wife, I don't think God's going to want to fulfill that because that's not scriptural. You know, or God, please, I don't even know. Let something happen to my wife because I want a shiny new wife. You know what I'm saying? And see how I'm tying that in with the Lamborghini? None of you should ever say that, by the way. Love your lives, your wives, and you'll love your life. But what I'm saying is, are we praying in the will of God? Are we praying for God's will? Are we praying for our will? That's a biggie, even if we think it's a need in our lives. Are we praying aligned with the will of God? Maybe we're coming to Him with a need, but it's not really a need. Or maybe, like I said, it's not the right time. As I'm going to go back to the earthly father example. As earthly fathers, sometimes when our child comes to us with a request, we know it's not the right time to fulfill that need, right? God, I want to drive. Or Dad, I want to drive. Well, you're only 8 years old. You can't drive yet. You know? Or I really want to watch this show on TV. No? You're not old enough to watch that show on TV. I know you want to. I know you think you're ready. I know you want to feel like a big kid, but you're not ready. Sometimes God says that to us. You're not ready. Okay? But God, I really want it. No, you're not ready. Timing is everything. And our timing, listen to this, our timing is rarely God's timing, isn't it? Our timing is rarely God's timing. How many of you in a big situation in your life feel like your timing was right on with God's? I cannot think of a time in my life where it was like the timing was exactly with the Lord. I'll tell you a quick story. You know, I've felt that I was called to ministry for many, many years. And I first got ordained in 2012, several years after I was called to ministry. But I had to be patient. I had to wait because it wasn't the right time. And I'm glad I didn't go into ministry when I first felt the call because I wasn't ready. And the Lord knew I wasn't ready. I think about King David. King David was anointed the king by Samuel the prophet years before he became king. And we don't think about this, but maybe one of the reasons David had to wait because David wasn't ready. Maybe David wasn't ready. Now, of course, Saul was doing his thing, and you know, but David still has to grow up. David was still young. David needed to learn. You know, I know that it was bad living with Saul and going through everything with Saul, but you know, he learned things. Sometimes you learn a lot of what not to do with Saul. Sometimes, but you know, David was able to go on campaigns and learn how to be a leader underneath Saul. Sometimes God does that. Maybe he puts you under a boss that's not the best boss, but you have to learn. You're learning things. David wasn't ready. Sometimes when we pray things, we're like, God, I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready. Look, I believed I was ready when I was called to ministry, but I wasn't ready. God knows when you're ready. We need to remember that God is in control and his timing is the best thing for us. Psalm 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. It is hard to wait patiently for the Lord. Sometimes we're waiting, but we're like, God, when are you going to do this? I really want this. I really think I'm ready. Okay, I'm ready now. I wasn't ready last month when I asked you that, and I was knocking, but I know I'm ready now. Well, you'll be ready when God says you're ready. The timing is everything. Until he opens up the door, until he opens the door to your knocking, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he heard my cry. He heard you the first time you knocked, even though the TV was really loud in the house. He heard you the first time you knocked. But he's opening the door when it's the right time for you, for him to open the door. But we're not patient, are we? We live in a very fast food society. I talk about this all the time. I talk about my frustration. One of my first sermons at Karen Orr was how I was in Taco Bell, one of my favorite places to eat. And I was in the Taco Bell drive-thru, and it took literally 10 minutes to get my food, and I was so upset because I wanted my food in 2 minutes from Taco Bell. You know, we live in a fast food. Have you ever been to a restaurant before and it takes way too long to get your food? We want it right now. We live in this fast food society. And you know what? Same way when we pray to God. It translates into our prayer life too. I sent up that request 5 minutes ago, God. I need it. I need it. I need it. I mean, I need it like yesterday. You know that, Lord. We want them now. But when we pray, are we praying that God's will be done? You know, sometimes I went through this like kick in my spiritual life, and I still do it a lot, where I stopped praying for myself a lot, and I started just praying God's will for my life. Because you can't go wrong doing that, by the way. You know, God, you know what I need. Sometimes I can't articulate it. Sometimes I don't even know. But God, I'm praying that your will is done, that you would just lead my steps today, that you would just guide me. God, I don't even know what I need at this point in my life, but I'm praying for your will because if I'm in your will, I'm fine. Have you ever gone too far and in front of God's will and then realized, uh-oh, he's back there? And then have you ever gone and not gone fast enough and realized he's up there, I better catch up to God? But have you ever been right in the middle of God's will in your life and said, wow, I know I'm right in the center of his will right now. I know he and I are totally aligned, and it's just such an awesome feeling to know that you're right hand in hand with God walking down the road, walking down that narrow road together. It is a tremendous feeling. But a lot of times we find ourselves ahead, we find ourselves behind, and we're not right in the center of his will. So it's never a bad thing to pray, God, what's your will? Show me, Lord, what you want. Show me what I should be praying for. He cares deeply for us, as I said. He has a plan for us, and he has a will for us, right? Let's go to that famous scripture everybody likes to use, which is a great scripture. Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 13. For I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you seek me, search for me with all of your heart. When we come to God with our request, are we just coming and saying, you know, this would be great, please give it to me, thank you, bye? Or are we saying, this is the longing of my heart, this is a real need in my life. God, I am beseeching you, I'm crying out to you. There's an issue I have to get through. There's a problem. We need to know that we will find him when we seek him with all of our heart, and that he does listen to us. But remember verse 11. He's not just saying, ha, 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 I'm not going to answer them now. They need to go through a little bit more turmoil in their life so they can really come to me. He has thoughts of peace towards us and not of evil. He has a future and a hope for us. We need to believe that when we come to the Lord in prayer, when we come to the Lord with our requests. Are we seeking Him with our whole heart? Are we aligning our will with His will? Now, here's the kicker, and as I close, this is my last major point that I don't want you to miss. We need to know that when we're aligned with the Lord, when we are praying His will in our lives, that He will, we have to believe that He will answer us in His timing. Okay? Listen to this. James 5:16. This is a great scripture. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. I've talked about this recently. What makes us righteous? Righteousness is measured by our faith. Abraham, Genesis 15:6, was considered righteous. Why? Because he believed God. And remember Abraham's situation? Remember his prayer request? God, my wife is barren. I have no children. I have no son. And you've told me you have a purpose and a plan and a promise in my life. You told me, Jeremiah 29:11, you have a future and a hope for me. In fact, you told me that my descendants will be more than the sand on the seashore. What's going on? My wife is barren. I'm not having any kids. He could not understand it in the natural. But what did he do that caused him to be righteous? He believed God. Do you believe God when you're praying for something and it's not happening? When you're believing and you're believing through what you can see in the physical, right? There is no way in the natural that Sarah should have had a child. No way. But with God, everything is possible. Nothing is impossible. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. When we're praying, are we being righteous? Meaning, are we praying in faith? Are we praying knowing that God will answer our prayers in His time, in His will? If we are praying that, then we are praying a righteous prayer, and it avails much, the Scripture says. And He will answer us. We need to take that whole thing, that whole ask, seek, and find, and we need to think about it in a different light. Think about it in that light. God's will, God's timing, and my faith. God's will, God's timing, and my faith. That's the ingredients for answered prayer. That's the ingredients for growing closer to our God. We need to be okay with that. We need to know that He is God, and we need to know that He listens to our prayers, and that it avails much. One more scripture as we close. Romans 8:28. A beautiful scripture here. We know that what? All things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose. Again, God is not a God who just says, ha-ha, I don't want to give you that. I'm just going to let you hang in there. We've talked scripture after scripture about He's a loving God. We have a purpose. We have a future. And we know that how many things? All things work together for good for those who love God. Do we love God? Do we trust God today? And do we know that God can answer our prayer? We need to take a look at ourselves. Evaluate your life today. Evaluate your prayer life. Evaluate your relationship with God. Are you praying with a righteous prayer? Are you praying that God's will be done and not your will for that Lamborghini? Or your will for that Gulfstream? Or your will for that ice cream all the time? Are you praying? You don't have to pray for broccoli. Listen, you don't have to pray for Brussels sprouts, but you need to pray God's will for your life, knowing that He's in control and knowing that He's going to give you as His child all things that work together for our good ultimately as His children, and He is our Heavenly Father. Let's pray together. Lord, we come to You in prayer asking, seeking and knocking, Lord. We know it's not just a formula. The Bible is a special book, but people just can't pick it up and start grabbing scriptures out and playing the slot machine. We know it's more than that. It's tied to faith. It always was. It was tied to faith in Genesis chapter 15. It was tied to faith at Mount Sinai when the Torah was given. It was tied to faith when Yeshua was teaching the Sermon on the Mount. And it's tied to faith today. Those of us that come to you, that love you, that know you, God, we know you will hear our prayers. So, Lord, challenge us this week as we have our prayer life, as we pray to you, whether we're driving in our car or in our homes, on our bed before the night, or in the morning, or in the shower, wherever we pray. Lord, challenge us, Lord, to seek and to knock and to really persevere and to think about these things, Lord God. Is it really a need or a want? Lord, is it aligned with your will? And do I trust you enough to know that you will fulfill it when it's the right time? Not in my time, because my time is always different than your time. So, Lord, we just pray that you would store this up in our hearts. Not just today on Shabbat when we feel good and we come here and we're all spiritual feeling, but Lord, in the middle of the week when it's been a tough week, help us to remember this as we continue to knock. Help us to remember your goodness, your faithfulness, and how we need to approach you, Lord God, in faith. We thank you, God. We thank you for the clarity of your scripture. We thank you that you have all things that work together for our good because you truly love us, Father. We thank you for that, and we lift up your name and acknowledge you as our King today and as the grantor of our prayers. We thank you, Lord, in Yeshua's name. Amen.